Popcorn or fried chicken?
Welcome to the BGN Invitational Tournament 3 Championship Series post-game show. Here is your host again, Space Dominator.
You've just committed a fatal error. There's nothing we can do for you.
One quick question. Space Dominator? Hello?
Yes, what can I do for you?
You work for Blizzard, right?
No, I don't work for Blizzard.
Do you know anything about the
Apple? Not a ton, I'll be honest with you.
Hey, well, do you know their Battle.net's down?
I honestly haven't paid much attention to it. I couldn't tell you. I'm sorry.
That's all good. And by the way, what game are you
playing? We're playing StarCraft.
StarCraft. Oh, I have that game. I can't get the patches to load somewhere.
Oh, I see.
All right, well, see ya.
Yeah, take care.
Just a few moments later.
Although, we seem to be having a latency issue, so it could be the latency just made the game stop.
This is almost too appropriate, too funny.
What are your thoughts?
I can't really hear what's going on.
I don't know what happened.
I hate when that happens.
And so goes another day in the operation of Blizzard Gaming Night. And I have returned from my technical difficulties with the computer just deciding to say sayonara to the internet. Killa Ace of One managed to win the first two games of the BGN Invitational 3 Championship Series, and it gave me enough time to produce that interesting sound montage that we just heard. So, recapping what happened, it was a night of technical difficulties. As in game number one, we had, as you heard at the beginning, a random 10-year-old kid coming into the chat room asking about the Diablo Battle.net servers in the middle of play-by-play. And of course, in appropriate Battle.net and BGN manner, in the second game, my computer decides to die about 6 minutes in, leaving Zorak to talk for the entire duration of game two, quite admirably, might I add. So thus, with a little bit of relief, I suppose, we have finally made the post-game show. I am Space Dominator, sadly the organizer of this chaos, I guess you can call, and I am joined by my partner Zorak. Considering Zorak didn't see much of game number one, and I didn't see much of game number two, I think we will discuss appropriately the games that we witnessed. And I shall begin with game number one. A tightly, you know, very interesting game on Monty Hall. A map, you know, in fairness, I thought Ramvid actually had a good chance early on. It's funny when I heard at the end of Zorak's broadcast that he had a good opportunity early on in game number two as well. I thought it was an opportunity that was just blown away because he had an early expansion right below his main base. And it looked like he had opportunities to do things, but the drops just didn't do enough. But it was a game that had a lot of action throughout. It was entertaining. It just didn't go quite the way of Ramvid and Killa Ace took an early 1-0 lead. And it really was, as Killa Ace just aptly stated, it was a case of aggression versus conservative play. And after some relief, and hopefully after some recovery from my partner, I will allow Zorak to give you a little bit of a brief synopsis of game number two. Take it away.
Well, game number two was certainly hard fought on both sides. High casualties on both sides. I would say it was certainly an interesting game. We got to a very high level of technology, and it certainly was a bloodbath. That is for certain. I would say this, though, at the risk of sounding like a jerk, if you're going to build an expansion, please, by all means, make use of it, because, you know, there's no point in expanding if you're not going to harvest minerals there. And I think that pretty much sums up game two.
And as we told you a long time ago, well, all right, maybe not too long ago, 2.5 hours ago, we have a special guest who will be doing the commentary for the two games that were played tonight in the post-game show Variety. We are joined yet again by the player, the two-time defending champion, and also the individual with the 2-0 lead in this championship series, in Killa Ace. Killa Ace, first things first, congratulations on your two victories, and your initial thoughts before we get started with the replays.
Wow, wow, wow. Much harder than I thought these games would be. Ram is really giving me everything he's got right now. I'm very lucky to be where I am right now. I'm sort of beat right now. I'm not really happy. I'm not really sad. I'm just glad that I came out today with two victories.
All right, fair enough. Should we start the first replay for you to begin that?
Let's go with the first game. Very interesting game. So let's see what happened right for me, and let's see what happened wrong.
All right, sounds good. Interested observers look like they are in the game, and I will hand the reins over to Killa Ace.
Start it up, Bisty. Oh, wait, let's wait for Ram to DL this. One sec. Well, actually, let me open this up with some background on this game. Multi Hall is sort of an island map and sort of a land map. You can attack each other straight off, but you can be sneaky and, let's say, eat through the minerals and make it to your opponent, possibly before he's able to react to that. So it's sort of a strange strategy in that you can either drop, as in tech and drop, as in a island map, or you could sort of take it as a land map and just really go for the ground pounding. Go ahead and start Space Dumber anytime you want. If it's possible. Alright, here we go. Here you can see Ram with his turn, which is actually his worst race, and me with my toss, which is my second best race. Four times until the battles begin, and then you can go to two times, actually. Obviously, we both pick random, so we had no idea what each other would go, and that's sort of the most dangerous thing about playing random versus random on multi-hull. I mean, he could go mutas all of a sudden, and then, you know, I'm dead, because I pretty much went for an anti-Terran build, although I did build two cannons, which did actually come in handy versus the drops he used, but we'll see that when it comes. As for me right now, going for a quick gas build, trying to get an early shuttle to see what he's going, not really trying to be aggressive. Ram also going for early gas. I think that was it. I think from here we could see a command center being built by Ramvid. Easily going for the quick expansion on this map. Very good choice. Although probably leaving him open for an attack. If I went rear drop, he probably would have been in trouble. But yes, that's right. Very strong beginning for Ram if this works out. Because I myself did not go for an early expansion. Instead, trying to go for a more safe build. Here I see him with a shuttle. I see Terran, which I'm kind of glad about because I went for a sort of anti-Terran, anti-toss build. So I'm happy to see that. Here we see Rams expansion getting off pretty decently. And here I get dropped by some vultures, which I saw coming, so it didn't really affect it. Probably killed two or three probes at most. It's a good trade-off for me. It wasn't really that damaging for Ram, but didn't get to do as much damage as he probably wanted to. Here you see Wraiths by Ram. Not such a good choice, as I already have Observers and Goons. And here an interesting micro battle versus the tanks and SCVs. At this point, I felt like I was in pretty good shape, because I hurt his own expansion, really slowed him down that way, and I expanded myself, so that early lead that Ramvid had in this game is actually nullified at this point. So as long as I can just keep him on his toes, I should be able to win this game. Of course, this game didn't turn out that way, because Ram was much harder to play than usual, and I just never seemed to have as much money as I needed to have in this game. Definitely Ram could have used more of a Maynard transfer right now, because he seems to have a lot of SCVs in his main and not so many as expansion. Definitely something that probably would have helped him out. Although he does have a lot of money at this point, just not enough supply depots. Here you see two tanks dropped on my expansion. Very smart, very quickly siege mode, but he didn't get any probe. Oh, he only got one probe kill. I was able to move my probes out of the way. He sort of leaves that dropship there. I thought it was a mistake. Should have just ran back. See what happens here. The dropship gets attacked. Very smartly, he drops those tanks again. Kills a few more probes. Although, minimal damage. He lost a dropship and two tanks, didn't really do that much damage. Alright, here we go. Ramiro definitely not spending that much and still very low on the supply. We have 106 supply compared to 96. As for upgrades, he has one attack to my one attack and one armor, so a slight edge to me. It's a good thing that he stopped making those wraiths. That probably would have been a mistake on his part, as he needed the gas more for tanks. He has a nice dropship army, which is actually pretty smart on his part, because he can attack me at any point he wants. I also have a comparable shuttle fleet, although shuttles obviously just don't hold as much as dropships do. It actually would have been interesting if he used a lot of Goliaths in his attacks. I wonder if that would have made a big difference. Here, Ram with an attempt to make an expansion on the bottom left aisle, which I thought was a big mistake. He could have just expanded near his base and had much more defense. Unfortunately for him, he loses a command center for that. Didn't hurt him economically, as he has 2.7k. But it definitely hurt him in terms of where his next opportunity to expand comes. Because I believe for the rest of this game, he does not expand. You see the money really piling up. Ram drops on me a huge tank army. Let's see. Doesn't really do that much damage. Kills a few goons. He loses his entire dropship army. That probably hurt him more than anything. Once again, I mean, he sort of attacks. It looks like he's more dangerous than he is, but Ram really was always a step behind in this game. Even when he attacked me, he was always... It did minimal damage, not really changing the game as much as it could have. Well, now he has a huge army on his left side. It's coming in vultures and tanks. Very dangerous point right here. I believe I do lose a pretty sizable army at this point. He has 123 pop compared to my 164. this was a very painful drop for me, but it wasn't really, didn't really make much of a difference. The expansion held up. It was all I wanted to have happen. See some good size storms in there, and now his population is 89 compared to my 129, so it's a victory for me. Scary moments, but turned out alright. And now you can see Ramirez is definitely in panic mode right now. He's got the money, but he does not have the army or really the expansioning ability to get on with this game. Meanwhile, I have three expansions compared to his one, so eventually I should be able to beat him out. Also, with Arbiters coming in, I'll have air support. He's going to need Goliath if he's going to want to counter that. So obviously, right now, things are getting tight for Ram. He just doesn't have the gas needed to really win this game. But still, Ram, very good with the drops all game. Drops two tanks on my expansion. Kills a lot of probes. Kills about 12 probes with that drop. That is very good. That is something that Terran should do whenever he gets the chance. Kills gas right there. That hurts my gas capability. It's a smart idea. I don't know if it was enough. It's not enough to really stop things, but it was definitely a good idea. Keep me on my toes, kind of. Because I was probably going to try to attack him already. But again, just too many expansions for me. Too little opportunity for him at this point. He runs out of minerals. Running out of money, and it's just a matter of time until he loses. Although he does have a surprising upgrade advantage. Here we come with the tanks versus the Goliath versus the goons. He kills a lot of my stuff, but he also gets attacked. He kills a lot of that army, but then I recall a huge amount of stuff into his base. Try to make like another flank inside his base. It worked out pretty well. At this point, it's really just a case of cleaning up. And at this point, obviously, it's game over. No money left. Rand did everything he could to win it, and he has good manners in that he doesn't leave, and that he doesn't wait until the end of the game to leave. He knows when it's over, and he'll say the GG. So definitely hard-fought game, but you can see that in the end, I think I was just a step ahead of him in terms of macro for most of the game. And his lack of expanding pretty much cost him. Definitely a game he could have won, and definitely a game that, for Terran, I was surprised by how good he played. And then obviously the next game, it showed with how good he played with Zerg.
Thoughts about game number two, Kill Ace?
Game number two, also, I was actually pretty nervous because of the way he played in game number one. You could see that Ram was bringing it. Although, on the other hand, usually Ram will not have two good games in a row. He'll put everything he has into one game, and then he'll kind of be frustrated and just forget about it in the second game. But this game was not like that. He came off he killed a lot of my Zealots early on. We'll see what happened. Very incredible game. You have to watch this one, please.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, there was some tense moments there when you left the game. We were wondering, should we restart? Should we keep going? Will Zorak be able to commentate this? But,
is he competent enough?
No, you made the right decision. Completely. That's exactly what you should have done. From the bits I heard of Zorak, you did an excellent job. You probably did a better job than I did reacting to my friend talking about Diablo. So, at least you didn't have any big interruptions like that.
That was incredible, that that Twilight Zone montage. I just loved it.
That was pretty good.
That should be a commercial going on for the entire BGN Finals, I think.
You better believe it. Yeah, to all of our viewers out there, you know, you might think that disconnecting from a game that you are commentating is a chance that's lost. But no, it's an opportunity to take what is taken away from you and turn it into something positive. That's a life lesson for all of our viewers out there to understand and know. But anyways, we don't want to listen to me talk about life. Killa Ace, whenever you're ready, you can talk about game number two.
Let's go at it. Game number two. Incredible game. PvZ, it always is.
Nobody else wants to watch?
I think they're playing their games, actually.
Oh, I...
We all remember the last PvZ, which was also a pretty incredible game. So this one was definitely going to be much better, considering that Ram is playing on Luna, a map that he really knows.
Okay, if you don't mind, we're going to restart this replay, okay?
Go ahead.
Alright, while we have a moment, I might as well give another life lesson. Kids at home, this is harder than it looks. Don't try this at home unless you're a trained, well, semi-professional. I'm not. You can tell. Anyways.
I think we should be encouraging, kids to be commentating StarCraft games. I mean, Korea can own the entire monopoly on StarCraft broadcasts, right? I think this is a grassroots movement we're starting right now.
I sense a commercial in the making.
We'll have real men of genius, and it'll be about StarCraft commentating.
Mr. StarCraft commentator guy.
Exactly.
Maybe you should try this. Yeah, that sounds like a plan. Nice.
It wasn't enough that you had to play StarCraft. You had to talk about it before, during, and after the game.
Gotta talk about StarCraft.
All right, so here we start again. We'll start again with the commentating on this game. Let's try to get it to X4 for right now, for the early period. I obviously, another random versus random game, so obviously both of us playing safer than usual. Although Ram actually not really playing safe, going with this fast expo. If I had Zerg, I could have been able to beat that. But I think Ram did pick Zerg. I didn't even see that. Jeez, that would have really changed the way I played this game. Damn it. Oh well. Very smart, Ram. Very smart. I thought it was random versus random the whole time. Well, I guess lesson learned. Luckily, I find him early on with my first probe. I go down instead of to the right. So I see that he's Zerg. And sometimes against Zerg, I like to go fast expo. But this time, I just had a gateway, so I decided I might as well go double gateway. Which kind of works and kind of didn't work, as I got destroyed pretty badly early on with my Zealots. Oh, really, Ram? You were hoping I would go... Oh, smart. Yeah, you probably would have destroyed me if you went triple hatch and I just got destroyed by that. Here with the Zealot, I do kill a drone. I was hoping to do more damage with the Zealot probe combo, but I just thought at this point I didn't want to lose the Zealot and this probe too early on. So you kind of minimize the damage. You have 8 Zerglings, which is enough, definitely. Get one of my Zealots into the red. very good build by Ram early on, although he does have 400 minerals, which is a red flag at this point. Myself going into the basic Citadel of Adun Speedlop Archon build, pretty standard over here. Ram actually going with a lot of Zerglings over here. I wonder why he's doing this. Although, in effect, it did actually work, as he did kill a lot of my Zergling Zealots early on. I did not expect so many Zerglings. Here, I lose about four or five Zealots, which is a big loss early on. Although, because Ram didn't have that many drones, it actually was not as big a loss as I thought. Just massive amount of Zerglings coming from Ram right now. A lot more than I would have thought. But thankfully, he kind of keeps them out of the way and doesn't get as big an economic advantage as he could have at this point. You also see the Lair and the Hydra Den coming late. So don't have to worry about Lurkers as other rounds as I could have. Here I win a nice battle over here versus Zerglings. That was a very nice win for me. That you see a huge population difference right now, 50 to 27. He also loses another group of Lings, and that cannon in my base comes in handy. I put those cannons there, of course, because I expected mutas from him, which is definitely a possibility. But again, his economy is actually very, very weak, much weaker than I expected at this point. He seemed to have put so much into Zerglings and defense. Oh, wow, look at that. He built another expansion in 8 minutes. I did not see that, actually. That is actually pretty dangerous for me. He has two expansions and I just starting on my first. Wow. If I saw that was bad scouting on my part. I should have seen that earlier. I would have been able to destroy that. Very bad on my part. I just try to scare him into building more defense than he has to right now with my Zealots. I'm not really trying to kill him right now, just trying to scare him. Maybe make him build some more Zerglings, some more Sunkens. Now he's really starting to build up his war machine. He's got two Evo Chambers coming up. They're both upgrading. He has Lurkers. Although I do have a big weapon upgrade advantage right now. I'm already at +1, and I'm almost on the second weapon upgrade. Meanwhile, he's just starting on his first armor. That's usually a bad sign for the Zerg. I probably didn't take as much advantage of it as I could have. Here I see, I think he shows Lurkers too early. You should have kept those Lurkers in there for longer and made me think of mutas for longer. Now with the Lurkers over there, I don't have to worry so much about mutas. And I build the Observer Chamber. I think with Lurkers, you have to, like, go hard or don't go at all. Wow, look at that. Your second expo really starting to mine right now. Also, me starting with a second expo, which is a bad sign for you. You need to destroy that if you can. Ooh, I got you really badly with two side farms there. Kill about 3 Lurkers. And with an Observer coming up, your Lurker advantage is going to really start to dwindle. But you do get to Hive pretty fast, and you're actually starting to working on Cracklings, which is a bad sign for me. So you have two expansions, pretty decent with drones. But you lost your Lurker contain. So now you're going on to rely a lot on your Zerglings. Right now I have an advantage versus your Zerglings because of my +2 attack, but that does not last long as it should have. Well, here I have a +3 attack upgrade versus your 1 armor. This is really the time for me to attack right now. This is the part of the game where the Protoss really has to take advantage because he has the attack upgrade. He can really destroy a lot of Lings easily right now. So you really have to defend as hard as you can right now. And you do that pretty well, actually, with these Lurkers. It was a messy battle. You probably did pretty decently, but in the end you did lose this expansion, which hurt you. I did lose a lot more than I probably should have. And that well-placed Ice Storm right here able to defend this. Here I finish off the Lurker, finish off the expansion, and that's all I wanted to do with that attack. Although you do get 2-2 Lings, which is dangerous, because once you get 3-3, the game changes. The key is, can I keep that economic advantage throughout this game? Obviously, my macro, you can see, is terrible. 3k minerals, 1.5k gas. Meanwhile, your macro is much better. Branvid probably needs some Defilers at this moment. He's going to need some Dark Swarm if he wants to win this game. Now I take the top right Expo. He cannot let me Expo again. We'll see if the Lings were enough to really make a difference in this game. He tries as hard as he can with the Lings, but I think the game might almost be over at this point. Just not enough to really stop my economy at this point. Very hard fought, though. Also, because of your lack of money, you don't really make as many Ultra Lists as you could have. And that was also a big deciding factor. You came very sporadically with the Ultra Lists. Here I tried to size storm a group of Zerglings, but you ran out of the way. Very smart. And here comes my very large army, almost max pop, versus a very small army of yours, of which I actually do very bad against. I mean, I really don't know why. I think it's because I only attacked in small groups. And I think I was more afraid of those Ultralists than I should have been. Yeah, this attack was actually very surprising how easily you were able to defend that expansion. I did not expect that. Keep in mind also, a lot of my population is in probes. So I'm not as big as I really should be. Here I go with some Maelstrom. That was really big. That actually came as a suggestion from Tanches. I'm very thankful for that, Tanches. Probably was not necessary in this game, but it had its moments, I must say. So now I see that basically he's just gonna mass Lings for the rest of this game, as is what mostly Ranvid does. So the best counter to mass Lings is Archons. So here I come making a ton of Archons. Here you see one of my Archons actually has 23 kills, which is very typical of an Archon in PvZ. These Archons can live forever if you really take care of them. They're the key unit in this matchup. 3-3 Lings from Ram right now. If he was bigger, this would be very scary. But since he only has one expansion, the 3-3 Lings are dangerous, but they're not as dangerous as they could be. And just looking at the economic differences, just look at Ram's main base. He's still mining out of that. Whereas my main base was mined out much, much earlier in the game. I think that's a testament to the low number of drones he has in this game, which is a common Zerg problem. So I can't really blame him for that. Here I'm just trying to contain him as best as I can. See another Maelstrom. Hold him from taking that bridge. But I just have too much at this point. I have expansions all over the top. Well defended. Enough money to win this game. There's not much he can do at this point. Here you can see I'm starting to build up for the final push. I'm at max population and this is the time to attack. Although, honestly, I have to say that is the smallest max population army I've ever seen. It's basically two three control groups worth. And Ramvid already seen that the game is over, quits the game before I even attack, and that's it. Kill difference 361-69, very typical of a PVZ. Zerg is lucky if he can kill even, you know, a third of the amount of units he loses. Ooh, I don't know if I can add anything more. I'm exhausted from those two games, honestly. These first two games, if the entire series is like this, we're going to be tired by the end of tomorrow night. Definitely a lot harder than I thought that this series would beat. And, well, it's all on Ram right now. I can't really see him playing much better than he did today. The question is, can he possibly do something sneaky, tricky, get an early advantage, and actually finally hold on to it, which is one thing that Ram has not been able to do. He seems to get the early advantage by playing sort of risky expansion stick-wise, but he can't really keep that advantage. He can't stop me from expanding enough to where he actually gets an advantage. So if he can fix that, if he can expand and at the same time attack me and keep me on my toes, I think that's going to be how I'll win the series. But the way it looks right now, I think I'm doing fine.
Well, thank you very much for your commentary, and hopefully you'll do it again for us tomorrow night.
Absolutely. It was a joy.
Thank you again, and congratulations once again. Zorak, do you have any final thoughts to conclude tonight's festivities?
Well, I think Kill Ace pretty much said it all right there with his last commentary there. I think Ram is able to take early advantages, and if he can just hold on to them, then, you know, things will be, they'll work out better in his favor. And with that, I hope things turn out better for him tomorrow. You know, I hope that he manages to pull a 4-game winning streak and snatch this this series away.
Now, of course, if you thought tonight was fun with all the chaotic activity that occurred throughout the night, guess what? There's another night of this yet! The fun all continues again tomorrow night with the remainder of the games of the BGN Invitational Tournament 3 Championship Series. There is a potential from anywhere from 2 to 5 games being played tomorrow night. So either it'll be a quick, calm night, or we'll all need coffee before the night is up. Blizzard Gaming Night Radio will return to the airwaves at the same time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Central Time, for everyone out there in Texas, with the pregame show beginning at 9:15, 8:15 Central Time. You will not want to miss tomorrow's pregame show again, as it will include the announcement of the next tournament that Blizzard Gaming Night will be hosting. And as I said earlier, it's a tournament that you don't want to miss out on. For my partner Zorak, for Killa Ace and the rest of Blizzard Gaming Night, I am Space Dominator, and we are signing off. This is Blizzard Gaming Night Radio.